98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. NFL Draft Extravaganza. Presented by Four Peaks.
Hour number two on this Thursday. Day one of the 2019 NFL Draft is finally here. We're about 6 hours and change away from the Arizona Cardinals being on the clock and making that first selection if they hold on to that pick. We'll get into all of it next. Our next guest, we talked to him at the Combine, one of our favorites all time. If you've been an Arizona Cardinals fan for a long time, you love him too. Former coach of the Cardinals, Dave McGinnis, now the radio analyst for the Tennessee Titans, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coach Mack, how are you?
Boys, what's going on? It was great seeing you this morning. I was up early working Radio Row this morning while y'all were still sleeping. So
you're
I'm back
coach,
on it with y'all.
You were
Let's
doing
go.
Coach Mack stuff.
I was doing Coach Mack. Yeah, I was doing Coach Mack stuff that starts with an S, but you know really what it was.
Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, Coach Mack. First, let's get your thoughts so far. I mean, you've been to a lot of these drafts. You've been around the game for such a long time. What do you think of Nashville as a draft city?
Well, I think it's outstanding. Did you guys get a chance to go walk the footprint any and see it yet? I mean, other than where you are inside the experience over there?
We went as close to the stage as we could get last night. It was blocked off because they were doing a dress rehearsal, but we got as close as we could get last night. It looks phenomenal down there.
I mean, it's insane, isn't it? And really, when you look at it and see how it's built up, and when you go up Broadway, which is the main drag there with all the honky-tonks and the bars and everything, Tootsie's, which is a world-famous bar there, you know, they've built it out even into the street. Mm-hmm. I mean, the footprint of this thing is large, and it is so good. And look, guys, I'm telling you, no place throws a party like Nash Vegas. New Orleans usually throws a pretty good party. This place here is so much bigger, it's going to be live for 3 days here.
Coach Mack, I'm telling you, you're right about that, because Vinny and I, we've had fried bologna sandwiches, we've had fried pickles. I don't know how people live past 50 in this state, Mack.
Yeah, they don't, but they have a hell of a time while they're alive, I promise you.
All right, so what's it like on the inside? Take us back in time to your days in the NFL, and what is this like inside the walls of an NFL organization when you think you know who you want, but there's so many moving pieces?
Yeah, Mick, and look, right now you've got your board set. You've already, you know, the time leading up to now, I mean, I used to spend hours and hours, like a lot of coaches did, on the phone, just trying to find out what the landscape is around your draft, in front of you, to the side of you, behind you, because you have, and depending on what your position is in the draft, you have certain pods of guys targeted, because you can't just have one guy targeted if you're down further. Now, the Cardinals are a different story. They've got the first pick, so they've got the linchpin. They can target a specific player, you know, or they could trade out, whatever you want. But if you control the draft with that first pick, now you have to really be a bad team to get that first pick, but yeah, it's got its advantages when you can control a draft and have everybody in the draft available to you. So everybody else has got to kind of wait to see how it daisy chains as to who they can get. And what you do is you set your draft boards vertically and horizontally. Vertically, you arrange your guys in by position, how you rank them. Then you go across the board horizontally and start making pods of players that might be available that you start to put on the board in your bullpen, maybe about 3 or 4 picks before you go live on the clock. That's how it works.
Dave McGinnis, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And we'll get into what the Cardinals might do at the top of this draft to kind of set the wheels in motion. But one of the things that we've talked about so far a lot, Coach, is this relationship that Cliff Kingsbury, the new head coach of the Cardinals, that he has with Kyler Murray. It's been a 7-year recruitment, seemingly going back to his days at Allen High School in Texas. And people are wondering, and Vic and I have talked about it, because Cliff Kingsbury has been very deferential in his comments. Hey, I'm leaving things up to Steve Keim. I'm leaning on him to put together my staff. I'm leaning on his expertise in this whole draft process. And I know you don't have the specific kind of details of what the relationship is, but can you outline, you know, how much voice a head coach has in the draft process, generally speaking?
Well, I would think. I mean, that's an unusual situation there. I mean, you fire a head coach, after less than one season, all right? So once you do that, and then you make a decision that that's the direction your organization is going to go, that you've hired a head coach, you fire him after one season, so you're going to wipe that clean, and then you make a decision to go out and hire a college coach that runs a specific type of offense and bring him in for his first year in the National Football League. And look, coaches are coaches, but coaches coach what they know. Yeah. And what Cliff knows, he knows that air raid offense, and he knows it very well. And the best guy to run it – now, again, Josh Rosen, I like Josh Rosen coming out of the draft when I vetted him. I do a lot of draft analysis every year. I liked him coming out, but he doesn't have any experience in that particular offense. And if that's what you're going to run, the guy that is the best at that right now that's available is the guy sitting out there at OU, Murray. I mean, that's the guy. And so now what you do is this, and I know that Arizona needs better players a lot of places. Look, they can strengthen their defensive front, which they need. They can strengthen their offensive front, which they clearly need. Or they can get a guy that they know could run this offense. He'll know as much about this offense as Cliff Kingsbury does the minute he steps in there. That's an advantage. Now, do you do that hoping he'll generate enough buzz that you can start selling tickets to refill that place up there and get some excitement ginned up and generated? Or do you say, you know what, we drafted a quarterback last year, we moved up to number 10 to get him, so let's strengthen the people around him and start to build this football team around him, and hopefully they'll give Cliff Kingsbury more than one season.
Yeah, well, let's hope so as well. Now, Cliff Kingsbury, it's kind of, as you know, Mac, it's really unique because most, if not all, of his assistants were handed to him. Vinny talks about the word deferring, and this is the Steve Keim production. Is there any danger in a head coach that's never done this before, that doesn't have his own guys underneath him, when it comes, if things start going bad, if it starts hitting the fan, Do you see potential trouble here with this hire, and how do you avoid? What's the best organizational road to avoid that?
Well, first of all, it's bad for anybody if it starts going bad in the National Football League.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, as quick as they're pulling the trigger now. I mean, I did it for 31 years, and lasted 31 years straight, through some really good times and some really down times. But people, had a little more patience. But once the salary cap came in, guys, and free agency came in, it's a different world now. It's an entirely different world. And it's not bad that he's got some experienced coaches on the staff in the NFL, because he's got no NFL experience. But the same thing, I mean, I liken it a little bit. It's different than Sean McVay when he took over there at the Rams. Sean had NFL experience. But what he did do is he hired an experienced defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips, and just turned it over to him. And then he went to work on the offense, which is what needed to be fixed there. Clearly, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed there in Arizona, but you've got an offensive head coach that you've hired that is a really good offensive coach, especially in that air raid offense. And so now, I don't know the meetings that he's had with Josh Rosen. I don't know if he didn't go in there and once he vetted him and they started talking, he said, "Hey, I can run this offense with this guy." If that's what happened, well, then they'll probably take the best player in the draft, knowing they've got a second year quarterback there that they took in the first round last year. So I don't know that without being on the inside, but I just know that it sets up a little bit, when you look at it, that if you were going to give a head coach in the area of expertise that he's strong in, somebody to be a linchpin to start his program, that's the guy you would give him.
Speaking with Dave McGinnis, Tennessee Titans radio analyst, former Cardinals head coach here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You brought up Sean McVay, and there's been so much talk, that connection, Cliff Kingsbury with Sean McVay. Everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. And you had an up-close and personal look at Jared Goff's first season as a pro quarterback after being a number one pick in Los Angeles, and it didn't go so well. And you see Sean McVay come in and kind of unlock some things in Jared Goff, and it led to a playoff appearance and a Super Bowl appearance in the next 2 years. How much, Coach, do you think the Cardinals, if they're looking at comps, how much do you think that trajectory of Jared Goff might affect their draft decision tonight? If they see that same kind of potential in Josh Rosen working with a different offensive mind?
Well, here's the difference, guys. Here's the difference. Sean McVay came in there and had to retool an offense, but his defense was set. That defense and special teams that he inherited was playoff ready for 2 years.
Yes.
That team had been built by Jeff Fisher to be able to compete and win that division. I mean, you know, the Rams at that time owned Seattle. Okay, and that was the team that you had to beat. Your defense was set. Your special teams were set. The issue there was the offensive line was not very good, and then the quarterback, a rookie quarterback behind a bad offensive line, it's not cool. It's not a good thing. And so, but he came in there. He spent a lot of money in free agency shoring that up. Brought Andrew Whitworth in there to be a left tackle. Brought Sullivan in from the Washington Redskins that knew how to make all the calls in his system. And then he brought the pieces in at receiver, you know, that he wanted. And then Sean was in charge of the offense. And he's a great offensive mind, and he did a tremendous job. But they had, you know, then they could concentrate on Jared Goff. Jared Goff, you know, Jeff Fisher really saved Jared Goff's life by not starting him for the first seven games, you know, of his career out there, because that offense just wasn't strong enough yet. And plus, Fisher drafted Gurley to give Goff some help when he was going to play him, to take, you know, some of the pressure off of him. That you were able to do that, but the offensive line wasn't good enough. And then finally, the defense, having to play too many snaps for too many games, could hold on for a while. Once that defensive front started getting injured that last year, it was over. All right. So McVay did a great job of that offense, but the defense and the special teams were set when he got in there, hired Wade Phillips, you know, to come in there and take over for Greg Williams, which was just a really plug-and-play type of thing. So there's a lot of difference here, guys.
All right, Mac, let me ask you this. When did we get to the number one pick, and Kyler Murray said, I mean, he's dominated all these draft discussions. We all know that. Do you believe that there will be a team that's willing to trade up to get this guy, or do you think at the end of it all, his size is going to make people kind of go, I don't know, maybe too risky?
He's a scheme-specific quarterback. You know, it's just like Baker Mayfield. It's a scheme-specific type of quarterback. There are people that, I mean, yes, I mean, I talked to a lot. There are people that like him. I like his skill set. I like watching, but you have to know that you're gonna develop an offense around this guy, okay? Now, does somebody, if he doesn't go, does somebody think, well, maybe he'll drop, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, then maybe I can trade up there to get him? You know what I'm saying? Because you start looking at who's sitting there behind him in San Francisco. They got a quarterback. Look at the Jets. They got a quarterback. You get to 4 to Grudes. Okay, you know, Grudes is always a wild card, you know, depending on what he's going to do. But a scheme-specific type of – if your offense is going to be that scheme-specific, yeah, they'll come get him.
Talking with Dave McGinnis, the former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, now with the Tennessee Titans radio broadcast team here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Kind of along those lines, Coach, I've heard people kind of point out the 2011 draft as a cautionary tale for teams that might fall in love with quarterbacks, just generally speaking, this year. When you hold that against the quality of the defensive prospects in this draft, I mean, in the top 11 picks of that 2011 draft, there are three surefire defensive Hall of Famers right now in Von Miller, Patrick Peterson, and J.J. Watt. Yet the quarterbacks in that outside of Cam Newton have really struggled to kind of find their way. Do you see similarities between those two situations?
Yeah, I really do. This is a big man draft. Defensive front, offensive front, it's a big man draft. And it goes deep, and you'll see a run on those guys through about pick 53, 54. I mean, this is a big man's draft. There's some quality on the defensive and offensive front. But, guys, always, you guys have done this for a lot of years. I've done it for more than both of you. Here's the deal. There are always two drafts in a draft. There's a positional draft. Then there's a quarterback draft. Mm-hmm. And if you need a quarterback, it doesn't matter how they slot into those other players. Are you with me when you talk about a horizontal board? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because if you don't have a quarterback that you can depend on in the National Football League, guys, what you've got is a highly paid rugby team.
Yeah.
So you don't, I mean.
Coach Mac, that's genius. Keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm a loudmouth.
No, you're not. You're the best, Bick. But anyway, that's what you got. And so you got to have a quarterback. So if you need one, go get one.
You got to go get one. Great stuff, Coach Mack. We appreciate it, man.
Coach, thanks for making time for us. We really do appreciate it.
Guys, I'll always make time for you. It's great seeing you guys over there. Hope to see you again.
All right,
love you,
sounds
brother.
Good.
We'll see you, man.
Dave McGinnis, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti.
There are actual cheeseheads in our vicinity.
Is that DK Metcalf?
No.
No?
No, but that does look like an aged cheddar.
Yeah. I'm jotting down my list of teams that I've seen represented. Before we got to Nashville, we talked about this being kind of a fan convention. It's totally on display. Really wasn't on display Tuesday or Wednesday night, just around town.
No.
Here at the NFL Experience, we're seeing all kinds of stuff. So basically, I think almost every team's been represented so far. We did run into some Cardinal fans. We ran into Mike and Jeff, who came over to the broadcast set. One from here in Nashville, one who lives in San Diego.
Yep.
Then we had another guy came up with this awesome customized Pat Tillman jersey.
It was the coolest football jersey I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was
number 40 was in the pattern of an American flag.
Yeah, and it had the Cardinal head on the side. I'd never seen that one customized before. So we have seen some Cardinal fans. I've seen some really obscure jerseys, too, which is one of my favorite things to do at sporting events, and that is to gauge the really obscure jerseys. So far, the most obscure jersey winner is an old-school Steve Bartkowski Atlanta Falcons jersey.
Wow. Steve Bartkowski.
I've also seen several offensive linemen on jerseys, which you don't see. Definitely don't see it in Arizona.
I just saw a Randall Cunningham jersey.
Yeah.
An old Eagles jersey.
We're in Tennessee, so you're seeing a lot of obscure Titans jersey. Frank Wycheck, Taylor Lewan. Jake Locker. I saw a Green Bay Packers fan wearing a David Bakhtiari jersey.
Who? Really?
Offensive lineman. Yeah, I told you. Ian Rappaport, just moments ago, tweeted, if the Arizona Cardinals have made a decision on number one, they are keeping it quiet. Source said GM Steve Keim reached out to at least one player, Bama defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, to let him know he's still a possibility to go first overall. Scale of 1 to 10 on the validity scale. Where are you putting that?
I would say that there's probably a little bit of legitimacy there based on the Cardinals wanting to trade the number one pick. And that would, if that is true, that would tell me that the Cardinals are not going to draft Kyler Murray to draft Kyler Murray. And if there's no willing trade partner, they're just going to go Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
Now,
see, I get the opposite feeling that this is all drumming up interest for that maybe that number one overall pick, whether it's a team that wants to move up to get one of these defensive studs or maybe a team that wants to move up to get Kyler Murray. To me, I read this as, okay, the phones, we're open for business. Make me your best offer. I know in my mind, as Steve Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, what I want to hear on the other end of the line. If I don't hear it, we'll just go Kyler Murray number one and we'll deal with it later. That's what I get. You see it a different way.
Well, but under what circumstance would you be telling him he'd still be in play for the number one pick then?
If you're trying to smokescreen another team that wants Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, but that's that's now you're playing with kids' emotions.
Yeah, all's fair in love, war,
the
NFL draft.
I know. But I think there's a boundary. I don't know what that boundary is, but I don't think you get too far over that boundary and start giving individual kids misinformation on the remote chance it gets out. That's a little too cutthroat for my taste.
Oh, I agree with you. And I do fully admit that if a team is going to move up and trade with the Cardinals, I think their goal would be to do that to get a quarterback and not a defensive player. Even though this, at the top of it, this is a very strong defensive draft.
Well, and I keep going back to the tweet about the Cardinals might have a big surprise in store for people. And that to me sounds like another smokescreen. You know what I mean? That sounds like, and you know how the game works, man. Every national GM or every big-time national writer, from Mike Silver to Ian Rappaport to you, just name them, they all have these GMs' phone numbers. They're all texting these GMs. The general managers want favorable reviews. They want to be able to lean on these national writers for information on what other teams are doing, and so you play the game. And so I don't think Steve Keim or any other general manager would completely shut out their nucleus of national writers in big events like this. But they're obviously very careful in what kind of information they dispense. And I think in this situation, it might just be one of those, we might surprise some people. Oh, really? I can't say any more about it. Okay. You know what I mean? It's kind of the game that has to. It's the game within the game, man. You know it works.
Oh, there's games.
You're wise to the ways.
Games within games.
Yeah.
I got a kick out of Todd McShay yesterday on that whole possibility, and that's the team that everybody's been looking at. I even wrote a bit about it this morning on ArizonaSports.com. Looking at you, Oakland.
Yep.
You can be fleeced. You really want Kyler Murray, don't you? And John Gruden's love affair with Kyler Murray. Todd McShay of ESPN yesterday said this. I hope you got my message, Jarrett.
Not yet. I was doing getting something else here.
Never mind. Yeah, he said John Gruden can love Kyler Murray all he wants, but it doesn't matter because he's going to the Cardinals when it's all said and done. And Todd McShay has been one of those guys that's been more steadfast in his belief than the actual pick.
Well, we don't need to play. Arizona's going to stay home and take Kyler Murray. So I don't call it foolish, call it whatever you want. I just think that when we get done with that first pick, Kyler Murray is going to be an Arizona Cardinal, and John Gruden can love Kyler as much as he wants. It's not going to be his guy. It's now going to become Cliff's quarterback, and moving forward, we're going to see if that fit works. And then we got to see what they're going to do with Josh Rosen. How do they deal him? Do they get value for him prior to the draft, during the draft, on the clock, or after they make the pick of Kyler Murray? That, to me, becomes the most fascinating aspect of round one.
Yeah, going back to that Rappaport tweet on that, the alleged discussion between Steve Keim and Quinnen Williams that he might go number one overall.
Yeah.
Don't you think Quinnen Williams probably felt that way without having to have that conversation?
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident, and the Cardinals have been effusive in their praise of Quinnen Williams as well. You talk about N'Keal Harry getting a certain vibe from the Cardinals after that visit. Quinnen Williams, considering that he visited with the Cardinals and they said all these things, probably had to feel that way anyway.
Yeah, I would think so. And I would think that Quinnen Williams is, and I've read a lot about this guy, I think that he's kind of nonplussed by it all. He's a big Southern kid, and I think he's going to be a really good pro. Reggie White, I don't know about that. We'll find out. We'll see. I hope the Cardinals have the courage to do this because I really believe that this is the play, man. With everything that's at stake with Cliff Kingsbury as a rookie head coach coming from a failed tenure at Texas Tech, or however you say that word, to me, this is the way you empower him, and this is the way that you define him, and this is the way you make everything different. I don't want to believe that Cliff Kingsbury and the offense he's planning to – hold on, let me get that big moth off you, man. That was a monster. Me with the bees, you with the moths.
I hope that moth flies by with a bottle of water soon.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm telling you right now, if they do this and they draft Kyler Murray, I will be so proud of the Cardinals for the courage that they have shown to do this. But you know my doubts. I just don't think they're going to. And we'll see who's right. We'll see who's wrong. And then the best part, Vinny, is these two guys, Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen, who had a little bit of interaction as young football players, they're going to be linked eternally based on their NFL careers because the Cardinals will have had their choice of either.
Yeah.
And this is just before we go, I just want to give you the latest. This is from Josina Anderson on the latest on Josh Rosen.
Now, a team source also told me that they feel like Keim is still trying to come to grips with the fact that he's already allocated a $10 million signing bonus to Rosen for just 3 wins, which is why they say that he is coming into this building today with active ears, ready to listen and perhaps leverage a desperate team, but underline the fact that a deal does not have to take place today. So the question becomes, if they're still leaning towards Kyler Murray, what then to do with Rosen? One team source told me they absolutely feel like Rosen and Kyler Murray could not coexist on the same roster because you're just asking for a toxic situation to evolve down the line, no matter how professional they start off. While another team source said you absolutely should consider it when you take into account the team's quarterback depth with Brett Hundley, who just has a 3-6 quarterback record, and Chad Knopf, who has never played a single down in the NFL. But either way, Greeny, the financial piece is definitely not a consideration when Rosen is just making $6.3 million over the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's stuff we can dive into a little bit later on as this all continues to unfold in front of us. You want to join Burns and Gambo along with Wolf and Max Starks today from the Four Peaks Brewing Company in Tempe for our Arizona Sports Draft Extravaganza. The party kicks off at 2 p.m. and we'll take you through the entire first round of the NFL Draft. Enjoy food and drink specials courtesy of Four Peaks all night long Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. We'll continue to talk draft, specifically quarterbacks. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner will join us next. It's Bickley and Murata live from Nashville, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
NFL Draft coverage presented by Four Peaks. The NFL Draft Extravaganza, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata continuing on this draft day. Round one will start at a little after 5 o'clock Phoenix time today. The Arizona Cardinals will be on the clock here to talk draft with us. The Hall of Famer, former Cardinals quarterback, Kurt Warner, who joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Kurt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. What do you make of Nashville as a draft site so far?
Oh, it's great. I mean, a great environment when you're downtown here, buzzing, and lots of music and lots of people and lots of establishments. It's really a great scene. Great scene tonight if it doesn't rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Kurt, I've been listening to a lot of your draft interviews. You've said a lot of interesting things that I want to get into. I'm curious, though, from your vantage point right now, what do you make of Josh Rosen as a quarterback? Because I don't know how the Cardinals can make a smart decision without really knowing who this guy is. Give us your instant take on Josh Rosen and what you've seen so far.
Well, I mean, that's the hardest thing. Is everybody wants to ask, you know, what should the Cardinals do? I think you only know if you've been around Josh Rosen for an entire year. You know, you've seen every day in practice. You've seen him in meetings. You've seen how he leads. You got to know all of that stuff before you explore anything else. And, you know, I can tell you what I saw on tape, and what I saw on tape wasn't very good. But there's a lot of issues. You know, there's a lot of things going on that you have to try to wade through and go, well, who is he really as a quarterback? And I think your best bet is to know what you saw every day in practice. And then if that was different than what you saw in games, now you start to go, okay, we don't think – what happened in games, that was kind of a aberration based on all the issues we had. But now if you didn't see that every day in practice, and now you're starting to wonder, okay, maybe this guy isn't the guy we thought he was. And now you start to explore the option of a different guy for your quarterback. And so it's so hard to assess that unless you've been there every day and you've seen who Josh Rosen is on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, Kurt Warner, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. To your point about what you saw every day during his rookie season in practice and around the team, how much do you think that's complicated by the fact that this is a new coaching staff in place, Kurt?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it can be complicated from that standpoint. I think you can also make the argument, like, you know, we keep talking about with the Jared Goff, that, well, you know, it could cloud it a little bit just from the standpoint that put this guy in a different system, maybe a system that fits him better, and now what can he be? So you could almost take last year and throw it out the window and go, well, we can't really tell anything because what he was doing last year is so different than what we're going to be doing this year. So, you know, that becomes, I think, the harder part to it. Or you can just go, hey, we still think he's the guy that we drafted at 10. Now we've got a new system and a new voice with him every day. We think he can be the next James Goff.
Kurt, I'm going to go to one of the things I heard you say, and I think this is fascinating as it applies to Kyler Murray, because Vinny's like, yeah, you watch tape of this guy, and he's throwing to wide-open receivers. I heard you talk, I forget where it was, about as an NFL quarterback, you need to sometimes throw the football right between the numbers of a defensive back and just pray and hope your wide receiver isn't jammed up, tripped up on the way to where that point is. How big of an adjustment is that for any quarterback to make, particularly when you're not used to throwing the ball in space?
I mean, I think it can be a huge adjustment because now timing comes into play. You know, accuracy comes into play. You know, I mean, we go back and we could look at a guy like Tim Tebow, right? Unbelievable college quarterback. You know, stats-wise, you would think he's a decent passer with completion percentage and some of those things at the level that he was at. But you go back and look and you go, well, my gosh, you can complete the ball even if your receiver has to stop, because he's wide open, you know, and I think that's what starts to come into play is you got to start to see, you know, do you think this guy can throw things on time, make those quick decisions, get the ball out of his hands? And that's always the hard thing to do with these really good college teams, and especially the system that they run at Oklahoma, was why I had a hard time really figuring out who Baker Mayfield was going to be. And if you watch Kyler Murray, he's another guy that, he doesn't throw a lot of things on time.
You know, he's not seeing it and boom, ripping it. He's able to catch up because he's very athletic, because his guys are open, because he's got a great arm. But once again, it's hard to play catch up at the NFL level. And so is the question, can he do it? Or was it simply he didn't have to do it? And so how do you judge those things? Even when you're going through the combine, you're going through a pro day, when they're throwing against air, how do I judge what he's going to be able to do when guys are in his face and he's got to throw it a little faster than he wants to, or he's got to, you know, split defenders because the guy's not going to be wide open again? What does he become at that point?
All right, Kurt, as a guy who went from nowhere to, in terms of perception on draft day, to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I love the inspirational message you give to kids on the eve of every NFL draft. Why don't you tell our listeners what you relay to them and why you do it?
Well, I mean, I think the bottom line is that, you know, this is all just a process. And the thing that I've come to realize over the years is that what anybody's done up to this point does not guarantee them anything moving forward. So whether you're the number one pick in the draft, whether you're the Heisman Trophy winner, or whether you're a guy that sat on the bench for 4 years and goes undrafted, that all that matters is what you do from this point forward. All that matters is when you get an opportunity, what do you do with it? And, you know, that's always my message. You know, the message to Josh Rosen, right? Hey, if it goes against you from the standpoint that, you know, they draft Kyler Murray tonight, you're going to get another opportunity. Be ready for that other opportunity. You know, go show them what you can do, because I'm a believer that the cream always rises to the top. And so all we ever ask as competitors is give me a chance. Give me a fair opportunity to compete. And if I'm the best guy, let me play. And that, to me, is the message, that we all want to get drafted. We all want to hear our name, you know, called on a night like tonight. But if that name is not called, that doesn't seal your fate, that you still have a chance to control what happens to you moving forward.
All right, real quick, Kurt, before we let you go, and that's great stuff, by the way. Take fit, take draft pecking order out of the mix. In Kurt Warner's mind, who is the best overall quarterback in this draft?
I think Kyler Murray is the best overall quarterback in this draft, because I believe he's got more tools than any of the other guys have. Now, does that mean he's going to be the best at the next level? No. But when I look at the way that he can throw the football, the arm talent that he has, the way that he throws with touch, obviously his athleticism, the way he can throw on the run but also make plays with his feet. He's got everything you want. The only knock is the height again. How much is that really a factor? Because I am a believer it is a factor. I don't know how much, but it is a factor. But outside of that, I believe when you look and if you were checking boxes on all the things these guys can do, that Kyler Murray by far checks more boxes than any of the other guys.
Kurt, thanks so much for joining us. I know you're busy and pulled in a bunch of different directions,
best,
so we appreciate you making time for us.
No problem, guys. Enjoy tonight.
All right, you too. Thanks, Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, NFL Network. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. All right, coming up, question that's out there, and it's more prevalent today than it even was yesterday. What do you think's going through Josh Rosen's mind right now? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Marotta. We continue our NFL draft coverage live from Nashville, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is the NFL Draft Extravaganza, presented by Four Peaks, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Let me tell you, I do know the story.
Ooh.
I'm not holding back. And they do not have a trade. And they do not have anything close to a trade. And the only two teams that they've spoken to over the last few weeks, last month, have been the Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants. Period. End of story.
You know what I've noticed, Vinny? I've noticed a couple of things, really. I've noticed that today, for the first time in months, there's some teeth to the national reporting about what's going on.
Finally.
Yeah. And now maybe they're just baby molars, but, you know, it's finally. You're right. So it tells me that as we're here now, stuff's starting to leak just a little bit. Because the people who do the leaking in situations like this, there's not that time to get outed now. It's fairly safe to do it now, if you were predisposed to do it. I'm not sure. I think the Cardinals' circle of trust is so small that no leak is coming from them. But it's, you know, other teams might be willing to chime in now with what conversations they've had with the Cardinals. Because that, to me, if there has been that little interest in Josh Rosen, you've got to ask yourself, why? Why is that?
That's a great question. That was Adam Schefter appearing on WEEI this morning on the Mutt and Callahan show talking about they're not even close to a trade for Josh Rosen. And that, I mean, immediate follow-up question. And, you know, we talked to Doug Franz about this when he joined us earlier. If you're the Cardinals and you like Kyler Murray, does that complicate your thought process? Uh-oh, what if we can't trade Josh Rosen? What if there's not a market for him? And according to Adam Schefter's reporting, and you have to take everything with a grain of salt at this point of the process, but he's about as dialed in as it gets. If that's the case and your goal was to unload Josh Rosen on draft night so you don't create that quarterback dynamic that could be a little bit sticky at best, how does that affect your thinking? Do you then go to plan B? Is plan B looking to trade the number one overall pick? Is plan B selecting Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams? Man, there's a lot of intrigue left.
Oh, yeah.
Last year was interesting, but
yeah, it is.
This year has blown that out of the water.
You know, it's funny, and it's I look at this. I look at the next best player available, Nick Bosa, who is have you seen this guy physically? I mean, his hamstrings are not – they're just not normal.
No.
I mean, his thighs and his quadriceps, they're just massive, and he can move really well. So he's got a great football player's body. But you're kidding yourself if you don't think that he's going to be walking into a dicey situation in the NFL locker room based on his comments on Colin Kaepernick. It's so funny because the people who are who have strong political leanings, and I do not, but the people who do are so whack in what they hear. I wrote this morning that Nick Bosa doesn't have to explain anything to me. But he's going to have to explain to his new teammates. You wouldn't believe the response I got from this one guy.
Oh, I would believe it.
You would have thought I wrote, don't draft Nick Bosa because he supports Donald Trump. You would have really thought I wrote that based on the reaction I got.
And you're just echoing what Trey Wingo told us almost exactly.
Yeah.
And it's
not like you made that up.
And what I'm also saying is that political leanings don't matter. It shouldn't matter to a football team with who you draft. But you got to recognize how an NFL locker room works, and you have to understand this is something he's going to have to broach. He's going to have a conversation. If he's going to be a bookend pass rusher in Arizona opposite Chandler Jones, hey, that could be kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
But he's going to have a conversation.
Here's that Wingo quote, by the way.
I don't think it's going to affect where he's drafted. I do think it will affect how he's going to have a relationship with those players in the locker room where he's drafted. I mean, if he does go number two to San Francisco, that's probably the most liberal city in America. And there will be people that will ask him about that, and he's going to have to handle that. You know, and so I don't, the talent will always get you drafted, but how you handle that stuff in the locker room, that's where the problem's going to be for him.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, a vast majority of the players in the NFL are African Americans. And they deal with a different reality than Nick Bosa does. And when he was tweeting that, he had no idea of the reality of Colin Kaepernick and what he was going through. And I'm not defending all of Colin Kaepernick's actions. All I'm saying is his reality is not the reality he's going to be living with on a daily basis in a professional locker room. And that's
exactly
something that he's going to have to adjust to.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. I mean, there's that. So Kyler Murray's got his challenges. Nick Bosa has his challenges. Quinnen Williams seems to be a pretty safe pick for a defensive tackle. I find it interesting that after three, the Cardinals have realized, according to Mike Silver, that there are three players head and shoulders above everybody else, right?
Kyler Murray,
Nick Bosa, and Quinnen Williams. You make the trade with the Oakland Raiders, now you're at four.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trading out of a guaranteed slot of the three transcendent players that your own vetting process has determined. That doesn't make any sense.
If that report's indeed true.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and that would tell you if Kyler Murray has always been a smokescreen for the Arizona Cardinals and they are committed to the best defensive player, it's either Nick Bosa or it's Quinnen Williams. You trade down to four, you got no guarantee you're getting either of them. And then you've just blown the draft.
But
my opinion.
It depends. I mean, you love Ed Oliver.
I do.
And
I really do.
Ed Oliver's not in that range.
But this, and I'm going by the report.
Sure.
That, that Mike Silver churned out.
Yeah, going back to the Josh Rosen front, you heard Adam Schefter in that soundbite that we played mention two teams that discussions have transpired with, and that's the Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants. A team that's been rumored but wasn't mentioned by Adam Schefter, the New England Patriots, on WEEI in Boston. He elaborated on that.
They have not talked to the Patriots. And they did speak to the Chargers at one point, maybe a month ago. The Chargers are not interested, okay, at this time. The Dolphins haven't had contact with the Cardinals in days. The Giants, I believe, want to see how and where this draft unfolds before they would make a move.
And I think that's a fair assessment, too, because Washington is another team that's been thrown into that mix. Earlier this week, the reports came out that the Redskins don't have any interest in Josh Rosen. And
the latest stuff from today is that the Redskins are really hot on Dwayne Haskins now.
Yeah, that they want to move up to
sure
possibly get Dwayne Haskins
because
they're not going to get him where they sit in
what
the first round.
What a joke.
I'm very curious to know what the Cardinals thought. If Kyler Murray is the guy that they have in mind, what their thought is on Josh Rosen in terms of the realities of trading him. If they wanted to get it done before tonight, and I said this earlier in the week, and you and Jarrett both gasped at me, that Kyler Murray might be the pick and Josh Rosen could be on this roster for quite some time.
I don't think I gasped. I wasn't expecting to hear that from you, but I'm not certain that that's not a bad play, but I do. My instincts do tell me that it's untenable long term. That they would start off great.
Of course it is.
They'd start off great, and then somebody would get real snippy.
What do you consider long term? More than a full season?
Yeah, yeah. Because you know what I would think.
And I think that's at the long end of long term.
Because you'd either have a guy like Josh Rosen going, I'm not getting a fair shake to win this job here. This is not a fair fight. And then you'd have Kyler Murray going, why'd you draft me number one overall if you don't want to play me? Yeah, you'd have to launch him sometime before the end of September, in my opinion.
One more soundbite from that Adam Schefter interview today, and it has to do with Kyler Murray and his potential position as the number one overall draft pick.
Now, I did have a team text me last night, hey, I'm hearing that Kyler Murray getting a little nervous about going one. We see the odds in Las Vegas dropping that he'll go number one. Vegas is usually pretty sharp around these things. Seen some mock drafts where Kyler Murray is not number one. So I said to myself, that's interesting. But then I lean on what I've been told, things I've heard, and I say, but he is going one. Don't fall for it. And so, again, I'll go with I think he's going number one.
All right, there's that. The mock drafts, I haven't seen mock drafts that are going out on a limb and predicting anybody but Kyler Murray at number one. Track 20 of them today. They're all on ArizonaSports.com. They all say Kyler Murray. The Vegas aspect is kind of interesting to me. Because I think Vegas, when you look at going into a game, when they set a line and then you look at the result, they're usually right on the money with where they set that line. There's a reason why they do what they do. But that's based on performance, trends. Putting odds on a draft pick is based on what kind of information you can gather. Are we to believe that there are Vegas insiders contacting NFL teams for inside information?
Yeah,
are they going
no.
on the trends that are being reported by other reporters that are in the dark on this?
I think it's a couple of different things. Do Vegas bookies have access to NFL GMs? Man, I hope not. But it's really just something where, and Doug Fron said this very well, If we predict something wrong or handicap a player poorly, we get trolled. You do it in Vegas, you lose your job.
Yeah.
And the casino takes a bath.
Yeah.
And so,
or you lose your kneecaps.
Or
all of the above.
Or all of the above. And maybe that pressure just creates such a focus that you learn to look at athletes in sports without one trace of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as journalists, as a guy who's been that, it's hard to do, but when it does, it changes everything about the way you see sports. And in Vegas, they take it to another level entirely.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why they're so close to being right so many times.
Yeah, they know what they're
it's
doing.
Nuts.
Yeah, I just wonder how much of that bleeds over into draft territory. I guess we'll find out. We're halfway through on this Thursday, the day of the first round of the NFL draft, the Bickley Blast straight ahead as we come to you live from Nashville, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.